Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went. Hello.
Hello and welcome
to Off Script.
Season 4, episode 2, where we
are continuing the Hunger Games trilogy. Can I even call it a trilogy anymore? I don't know.
Series.
There we go.
Yep.
Catching Fire.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good one.
What? Was that just my chair or did you hear that?
I did not hear anything.
I just heard something weird.
Oh no.
I don't know what it was.
Haunted.
Well, it's a ghost that lives here.
Oh, you guys. It's our second episode back to you.
Third. I only know this because I just edited the one that's going to be releasing to them here.
Well, I meant like our second for this season.
Oh, for the season. I thought Allie was still excited about us finally being able to release episodes.
No, just second for season 4.
There you go.
Four.
I'm with you now.
4. That's so weird.
That's actually insane.
I feel so accomplished in life.
Yeah. Been podcasting for 2 years. Technically 3. That's weird.
That's weird. Yep. All right, you guys. I have a picture to paint for you because I'm in so much pain right now.
Are you? Do you need ice?
No, it's okay. I'll ice it when I get home.
I want to see it.
You can't really see it, but it's going down. I slid off my couch last night.
She old.
I don't even know how I did it. Okay, so our couch, we have an L couch, and then right now we have a huge square ottoman, and we have the ottoman at the end of the L, so it's just an extra long L.
Okay.
And so last night was our sleeping in the living room for a Christmas movie mm-hmm. night, and I move the ottoman to the corner of the L, so it makes kind of like a bed, and so that's where we sleep. Well, I did that, and then I got like my feet caught in the blanket or something.
Oh no.
So I kind of fell off the couch, and I landed on my foot. And
ouch.
Yeah, at first I was like, well, that's uncomfortable, it kind of hurts, and I could still walk on it. Like, it was a teeny tiny limp that I think my mm-hmm. brain was just saying, you got hurt. Limp. Like, it,
yeah.
I didn't need to. And so I was like, that's fine. And so as the night goes on, I'm like, wow, it's getting a little more and more sore. And finally, I was like, okay, I better just put some ice on it. And so I put some ice on it. And then night goes on. Kids are finally asleep. So for your parents out there, I got up to do some holiday festivities and help a little red friend out. And I'm sitting down. He left and got into his new location. People who are not parents are like, what the hell is she talking about?
Yeah.
And I sat down to do a letterboard for a note. I helped him with his letterboard note. And I could not get comfortable. Any which way I sat, my foot was throbbing. And at this point, I had to crawl down the hallway because I could not walk in it at all. And then this morning I get up and it was the same. I could not move. I was like, we are not going to church today because it's my right foot, so I can't freaking drive. I was like, I was about to text you and be like, you got to come get me. I can't come
injured.
Over tonight unless you get me. But luckily, all day it's been getting better. And like,
that's good.
Yeah. I can actually. Ooh. It's like when I twist it a certain way, it's mm-hmm. it's like there's a giant knot. So like you twist it a certain way and you can just feel it can't turn.
It still hurts. You might need to go to your chiropractor.
I know. I might need that.
Because that sounds like what just happened with my wrist. Even though that one, I don't even know. All I think that happened with my wrist was one day. Actually, I really think it was one day when we were about to sit down to record off script. I don't know if you were here yet or not, but I sat down here and when I was getting things situated, it felt like my wrist needed to pop. And I just went like this to do it. Ooh, I shouldn't do that with that wrist. I went to do it and it just felt like bones in there were stuck. And I was like, oh, whatever, it'll just fix itself. A month later, it got worse. And like for a week, I couldn't even like going like this hurt and just twisting it, like you said, hurt. And so went to my chiropractor. She also taught me
how to pop it.
Yeah. When you feel like it's stuck, you like pull down and then just do it quick and easy. Wow. Funny. It popped. yeah. So chiropractor might save your life.
All right. I might have to try. Point of our stories is don't get old.
Getting old sucks.
Oh my gosh. I don't even feel old, but my body is apparently.
My body tells me I'm old. And then I've got John who like is 2 years older than me and is like, you're so young. And then like things happen to my body and he's like, none of that ever happens to me. How are you so old? I'm like, how are you not?
All right. I say we start.
Let's do it.
Okay. So speaking of John, he'll be very proud. I used ChatGPT for our synopsis, but
will be.
After going online, I was like, yeah, the online one was better, but I figured I would honor, especially since I already typed it up. So, so we follow Katniss Everdeen after watching her victory in the 74th Hunger Games. As a victor, she faces new challenges, including a rebellion brewing in the districts. To quell the uprising, the Capitol announces the 75th Hunger Games, known as the Quarter Quell. With a twist involving previous victors, Katniss must navigate the political intrigue, alliances, and more dangerous arena.
Honestly, I think that was good.
I know, it did pretty good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It also now has written our episode bios, or episode descriptions, bios.
ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're turning to AI, you guys, because it's easier.
Yeah. I used to make everyone like specific to the like what we were talking about. But then I got to a point where I was like, oh my gosh, like we didn't really talk about much. Like we only talked about this or like this book. There's not much we can say about this book.
Yes.
So then I was like, okay, I need help. And John uses ChatGPT for everything. So I was like, cool, that's imprinted in my head. Thanks.
All right. We have author Suzanne Collins, director Francis Lawrence, screenplay writer Simon Beaufoy, and Michael Arndt, and audiobook reader Tatiana Maslany.
Love her.
She did really good. All right. Book came out September 1st, 2009. Movie came out November 22nd, 2013. That's 4 years.
You know what's funny? Huh. I guess I should talk about that now. You know that Francis is who did Water for Elephants, right?
I did not know that. I know that he does all the rest of the Hunger Games, though.
Mm-hmm. He does, including the prequel. When I found out he was doing it because I had seen Water for Elephants and read Water for Elephants, you don't even know how happy I was.
Really?
And then, yeah. Oh, I was like, oh, you're going to do this justice. I know. And then at the red carpet premiere, he came and set up a table and did signatures. And I was so excited, but then I was so bummed because I had left my Water for Elephants book back at school because I wasn't thinking. I was going for Catching Fire. I wasn't even thinking. And I was like, I would much rather have him sign my Water for Elephants. So I bought a new Water for Elephants for him to sign. And then I found out he directed Bad Romance's music video.
Wow.
And I was like, damn it. There's so many things that I love you for.
All right. So which first, book or movie?
I read it first.
I did too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your initial thoughts of the plot of the story.
Honestly, I love this one.
This was fun. I do like this one.
Because I like getting half of it outside of the games and like what they're dealing with now.
Uh-huh.
And then them going back into the games and like, okay, how are we going to do this again? Because then you go into it and you're like, cool, they're not both getting out again.
Right. So you have to figure out what's going to go on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked I liked it. I had a thought. Hang on. It was good. Good book. Good, great. Good job. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Why did we pick it?
It's the second book in the series.
Yep.
Had to continue the series.
Yep. And now we have some.
I love that you have stopped.
You do your head every.
Oh.
Every time I do that, she like bobs her head with my Allie super fun fact. Every time, you guys, and I notice it.
I didn't even realize.
I notice it every time. And now you're not going to do it because I mentioned something.
You should have just recorded it and posted it one day.
Oh, man.
I'll be like,
not.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So let's go. Number one. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Jennifer Lawrence said that she, Josh Hutcherson,
I can never,
and Sam Claflin were very clumsy, saying that Claflin fell at least once in every scene they filmed. He's like, yeah, you could do a gag reel with him falling over. And that's with hilarious. That, another fun fact I had was that they filmed the water scene in a amusement park pool. And it was 50 degrees. So it was so cold that the old woman who played Mags, the director was like, you're not going in because I don't want anything to happen. Well, because Claflin is so clumsy.
No, she fell in.
Yeah, he was carrying her and he tripped and they fell in. And she just was dying laughing. She thought it was the funniest thing and he felt horrible.
That's hilarious.
I thought that was fun. All right. So Jenna Malone, who is Johanna,
mm-hmm.
she stated that her stripping scene was filmed in a real hotel glass elevator that was not closed for production, so guests could see her. Even though her nudity was not shown on screen, she did strip naked in front of Woody Harrelson, Josh, and Jennifer during filming.
Dude, the balls on her, man.
I know.
I would have been a tomato.
It gets better. So she was surprised it wasn't shot in studio or on a sound stage. And so when she was completely naked, the doors open and there was a hotel employee there carrying a cup of coffee. He was so shocked. She just started laughing, but she tried so hard to be in character. But oh my gosh.
Imagine being that guy.
I know.
Like, what?
Oh my gosh. Jennifer Lawrence's face during that scene.
Oh, she's perfect. Yeah.
Died. She was the funniest.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that is not a GIF.
I know.
I've never seen that as a GIF.
I haven't either,
and
actually.
Her face is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Woody's is hilarious too.
Yes. He's just like, all right. Nice.
Hey.
All right. During the press tour, Chris Van Vliet.
Vliet.
interviewed Liam Hemsworth and Woody Harrelson. Before the interview started, Chris and Liam mentioned Liam's brother, who's also named Chris
mm-hmm.
Thor. And even though it was their second film together, Woody had not realized that Chris Hemsworth was his brother.
Yep. That's a good.
Yep. I'm like, that makes me feel better that actual celebrities don't realize who other celebrities are. I'm like, oh, thank goodness it's not just me. I think it's my favorite. Fun mm-hmm. fact. This is the highest grossing film of 2013 in North America. It was the first film to top the annual box office with a top billed female lead since The Exorcist in 1973.
Nice.
And the first with a woman as the sole protagonist and primary marketing focus since The Sound of Music 1965.
Wow.
Girl power.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I know. Pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And Divergent could have done it too, but they screwed that up.
Fucked it up. It would have been so good.
And number five, Jennifer Lawrence said while filming in the arena, she hit herself with a bow mid sprint and dove into a pool of jets. I don't know. Is that just like jets in the water? Maybe.
Probably.
She was partially deaf for 6 days, which Oof. I found interesting because Katniss was deaf in the last one.
Yep. Yep. And technically kind of in this one. Except for the Capitol fixed her up.
Yep. Oh my gosh, I feel like I've been talking forever. I can't wait for you to talk. Okay. Okie dokie, let's do some comparisons.
Yeah.
So the book kicks off. Katniss is reminiscing about her time since being back from the games and how different life is now because she's in the Victor's village and all that sort of stuff. So her and Gale don't really talk anymore. So she went to the hub and did some shopping at their little black market they got going on. And she went to wake up Haymitch because the tour, the Victor's tour, is about to begin in like an hour. But then when she gets home, President Snow is at her house.
So in the movie, her and Gale are still hunting and still friends. He's a little butthurt about the games, but she's like, don't worry, it was all an act. I'm like, you guys aren't even supposed to be talking about this just yet. What? I do like in Catching Fire how they show Katniss's PTSD from being in the games, because she's going to hunt with Gale and like Gale's like, oh, this is easy for you, there's a deer right there, and she goes and she goes to shoot, but as soon as she shoots, you see her vision change and it's Marvel who she killed in the games, and she starts freaking out.
Do you know how long it took me when I was doing casting? Because it said Marvel. I was like, he freaking died in the last one. Why are they wrong? And then I was like, oh, yeah, that PTSD moment.
That's hilarious.
I was getting so angry. I was like, is IMDb not reliable anymore?
And so Allie will talk about this later, but when Gale and Katniss come back, after they come back in the fence, they kiss. Mm-hmm. When really it's supposed to be outside of the fence. And then Katniss, when she's on her way to wake up Haymitch, walks by Buttercup and we see this cute orange tabby cat because they decided to fix the cat for this. Which, like I said in the last one, if you screw up the cat, why don't you just keep the cat screwed up? Why is that the one thing you fix?
New director. He's like, yeah. No, this bugs me too much.
We've got to fix this.
Immediately when she walks in to talk to Snow, she smells blood and roses and she's like, that's nasty. And she talks to President Snow and he says there have been revolts in districts due to her stunt in the games. And we find out that Senator Crane has been executed. And he starts talking about PETA and Gale. And this is when Katniss has her memory of kissing Gale, or Gale kissing her. And she's like, please don't hurt Gale and people in her life. And he's like, well, then you need to convince me you're in love with PETA. Or she's like, you need to be convincing you're in love with PETA. And she's like, I will. I'll convince everybody. He's like, no, you need to convince me. And that's what he whispered in her ear. And she smelled blood so much in his mouth. It was so gross.
Yeah. So she can't smell blood and roses in the movie, obviously, right? Like, we don't know that she does. But they show later on when he's drinking champagne at the Victor's tour, he like takes a sip and then backwashes blood into his cup.
Gross.
Yeah. So you got that to kind of, because that's kind of important for the last one. In the movie, Katniss, just like when Snow's telling her all this, she's like, why don't you just kill me right now? Whereas in the book, she does not say that. She's like, how do I fix this? How do I get out of this? What's wrong?
So the prep team gets there. And they start getting Katniss ready because it's been a couple months now since the end of the games and they're getting her all ready for this tour. And she decides, I'm going to tell Haymitch what President Snow said. I got to just tell Haymitch, like focus on one person. And Cinna is prepping her for her talent because now that she doesn't have to work because she's a millionaire because she won the games, they're supposed to have a talent. And hers is fashion design, which is all Cinna's stuff. But he's like, here. This can be yours. Mm-hmm. And so they're on the train. She's talking to Haymitch about Snow. And he made her realize that the games will showcase their love story every single year. So she basically has to get married to this boy because every year they need to act happy. What?
You skipped some stuff.
Okay.
So before they get on the train, they have the camera crew comes to District 12 to see them. Uh-huh. And so Katniss immediately like,
oh yeah, I did skip that.
Yeah. She, after her team gets her all prepped, she comes out of her house and PETA comes out of his house and they run together. Which first off, I'm like, why are they making it seem like it's this grand reunion? And they've been living together for the last however many months.
I know.
But then she runs to him and then they slip because it's snowy. In the movie, they don't run to each other. they just like do an awkward hug and then they slip because of the hug.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense.
Oh gosh.
And then after they kiss, PETA tells her that he wished that the kiss was real out in the open in District 12. And I was like, boy.
I know, in the movie.
Yeah, I was like, you know, they watch
everything.
You can't be saying that shit. And you know that.
Okay. We find out from from memories from Katniss that Haymitch won the second Quarter Quell, and it is now the Quarter Quell, the third one. So every 25 years, they do something crazy with the games. And like his season, they had double the amount of tributes. Could you just imagine?
That would be horrifying.
48
yeah,
kids.
That would be so scary. Insane.
Yep.
So Cinna doesn't give her his talent. Also, when Cinna shows up, everyone's like, did you know he's a fashion star? And that does not happen
in yeah.
the book. I'm like, what? Also, Effie is supposed to have gold hair at this point, and she definitely still just has blonde hair. Mm-hmm. That made me really upset.
Mm-hmm. She gets her gold, but she's supposed to be all about the fashion trends, and yes. Mockingjay is a fashion trend right now.
Yes, exactly. And she is not mm-hmm. about that. And then Katniss does not talk to Haymitch on the train nope. about Snow.
All right. So the train stops and she's getting pissed off because she's like realizes she has to be with PETA forever. And so
well, not only that, it's because Effie was like talking about how proud she was that they were the victors and blah blah blah, and Katniss is like, we had to kill people.
Yeah, she's pissed. And then Effie's freaking out because their time is like timetables are off because things are slowing down because the train stopped, and Katniss just blows up at her and storms off. Mm-hmm. And then PETA comes out and apologizes for how he ended the train on the last, like when they were leaving. He's like, I knew you were doing it for the games. And I, you know, knew there was something between you and Gale. And I'm sorry. Can we be friends again? And they're like, yes, we can.
Okay. This part pisses me off. Because in the movie, PETA comes up to her. And it's like, I've been holding you to everything that you said in the games, thinking that you love me, blah, blah, blah. But I go, okay, who at the end of the movie of Hunger Games said, oh, that was all a game, wasn't it?
I know.
So
they screwed it up last movie.
They did screw it up. And so France is like, screw it. I'm going to stick to the book rather than like, I'm going to go with the movie. But then say I'm someone who doesn't read the book and I just watch the movies.
I'd be like, wait, it was you.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's frustrating.
That's fair. So they get back on the train and they go to District 11 because they're going down all the districts.
Oh, I guess the other thing I should say is that the train never gets stopped.
So they're going down all the districts and doing their victor party, basically. Like, ha ha ha, we won. We're your victors to all the families. Which is also so
awkward. Like, yes! Why does the Capitol make them do this?
So awkward. So horrible. Because the Capitol's horrible.
Yeah. True.
And so they're just in awe because District 11 is huge, but it seems super strict too. Like their peacekeepers look like in District 12, their peacekeepers are like in the hub with them, the black market mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. They keep the electric fence turned off.
They're so fun.
Yeah. They're like nice to their
citizens
and District 11, not seeming like it. So they were given a speech to do and PETA decided to improvise a little bit. Because they have the families there so they can see Rue's family and Thresh's family. And he's like, you know what? We're going to give 1 month of our winnings every year. What is it?
A month every year.
For as long as we live.
Yeah.
Then they were going to leave. But Katniss is like, I got to say my piece to Rue's family. So she did and said how much she loved them and how appreciative she was of Thresh for saving, like, not killing her and all this sort of stuff. And then there was a man who did Rue's doo-doo, except it wasn't Rue's, it was
Katniss's.
Do-do-do. What is it?
Do-do-do-do. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. And kissed his fingers and raised him up, which was Katniss's sign. And they left the stage, but Katniss is like, oh, I forgot my flowers. So her and PETA are going to go back, and they open the door, and they see the peacekeeper shoot the guy who whistled.
So in the movie,
this pissed me off in the movie.
I know. Well, so the movie doesn't really say how. The book explains that whenever victors have allies who are tributes, they usually are expected to give like their own little speech about like, thank you to the kids' families or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so Katniss had been dreading this. Mm-hmm. In the movie, it's just, cool, here's your speech. And Peeta's like, I can talk for you. She's like, cool, great. Then everything happens. But then the peacekeeper just shoots the guy right in front of everyone.
I know.
As they're getting pulled back into the office. And then this is when Katniss tells Haymitch and Peeta about what Snow said.
Because what happens next is, in the book, Haymitch ditches their mics and he brought Peeta and Katniss to like this abandoned area in the Justice Building to talk. And he told Katniss, he's like, you got to tell Peeta about Snow right now. And so she does. And he's pissed. He's like, why aren't you telling me things? Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're right. I will keep you in the loop. And they continue the district tour. Mm-hmm. And they get to the Capitol. And Katniss had the idea. Hey, Peeta, why don't you propose on camera? That'll help convince our story. And Peeta's not thrilled with that, about that. And he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they did the proposal and President Snow congratulated them and he shook his head ever so slightly to say, nope, not convinced.
In the movie, you see them go through their tours and tons of people in the district start doing the hand signal. And so you see a lot more rebellion start popping up when that's not supposed to be a thing that happens yet.
Not quite yet.
Yeah, that's only District 11 thing. And then basically the rest of it happens, except for Katniss doesn't say, hey, Peeta, you should propose to me. You just see that it happens.
So they're at this Capitol party and they notice the Mockingjay symbol is everywhere and like on people's bracelets, on necklaces, in their hair.
Hold on, there's more.
Okay.
Because in the book too, when they're on the train going to all the tours, Katniss has been having nightmares. And so Peeta, she like goes and finds Peeta and then is like, hey, can I just sleep in here with you? Because he's her comfort person because he was in the games with her. In the movie, she's having a nightmare and Peeta just comes into her room and then he like goes to leave. He doesn't even ask like, are you okay or anything? He's just like, I'm a creep who was coming in your room.
It's almost like he wants her to say,
stay.
Come stay with me, please.
Yeah, yeah. And then in the movie, too, you see Snow's granddaughter who's like doing the one braid in her hair because she wants to be like Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can continue.
Okay. So we're at the Capitol party. All the Mockingjay stuff all over the place. And she's talking to the new head game maker. And he like slowly, slyly shows off his watch, which flashed a Mockingjay. And she was like, oh, that was kind of odd.
It's like iridescent.
Yeah.
That does not happen in the movie, and I'm pissed about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things that I love. Instead, freaking Plutarch, or Plutarch, mm-hmm. however that you say it, he says things that are way more obvious and way more like, I'm helping you, but not helping you.
Right.
I'm like, how could the head game maker get away with that at Snow's place?
I know. He was, it was the movie Holding Our Hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So for their final part of the tour, they go home to District 12 because they kicked it off with 11. So they always end it in their own district. So mm-hmm. they just go, it's like a circle. And Katniss is in the mayor's office. Oh, well, first she's having dinner at the mayor's house. That's where it's having. They're at. And Madge is the daughter of the mayor, which mm-hmm. is her friend who gave her the Mockingjay pin in the last movie or book. Mm-hmm. Book. Last book. And so, but when she's in the office, she notices an update on District 8. And there's
So she's not supposed to be in the office. Right. She was running to find Madge. And then, like, I can't remember if she ran into the mayor or what, but she decided to go into his office.
She's sneaky. Mm-hmm. And she's the uproar in District 8. And apparently got some rebellion going on there now, too.
Mm-hmm. This does not happen because the party just ends at Snow's place.
Kind of makes sense. Wouldn't you want it to
honestly,
end on the...
you would think, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Why are you making a huge party like what would be happening at the Capitol in District 12?
Right.
Or any other district for that matter. Mm-hmm. And then because they don't end in 12 and Madge is not a character, they have to find a way to get Katniss to see rebellions on TV. Uh-huh. And one scene earlier in the movie that I thought was stupid is when she's on the train, she walks by and she sees peacekeepers watching TV. And it's so that for this scene, it makes sense that she sees the TV and like starts watching. Mm-hmm. So she watches the TV on the train.
Yep. And that's where she sees the upper. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Gale and Katniss meet up in their normal hunting spot and he's caught a wild turkey. She tells him everything about how the Capitol's going to kill him and their families. And she's like, will you run away with me? And he's like, yes. But we got to convince the families. He's like, she's like, oh, they will be easy to convince. It's Haymitch and PETA I'm worried about. And he's like, oh, great. We're bringing everybody. And he tells her he loves her. And she's just like, I know. I got to ask you, team PETA or team Gale?
I'm team neither.
Really?
Yeah, So I love PETA and I want her to be with PETA, but how it ends, I don't like their relationship because I don't feel that they're together out of love. They're together out of necessity.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I've only read the books like one time through, and I've only watched the final three movies, like this one and the next two, like maybe once or twice because I've seen them at home, but in theaters. So I don't remember a lot of what happened. I just remember I could never pick which one I was because
they're both really great, but yeah. I love PETA. I'm always for the underdog, but then I just feel like Gale goes off, so he makes the decision for her.
Yeah.
And so they're alone. She's like, okay, guess it's PETA. And then because of the PTSD, she wants him there as her safety blanket. She's like, you're the only one that's ever going to understand what I've been through and all of this. So then I feel bad for PETA because I'm like, he truly loves her.
Right.
And she's just kind of like, well, I'll settle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think either of them deserve it.
Well, there you go. That's how I felt in Twilight.
Yeah, that's hilarious. It's true.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I can't choose either. I don't know. I just wondered if you would be able to convince me one way or the other, and you didn't help me either because
sorry,
you can't pick either.
I know. I pick don't get with her.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, we're getting kind of ahead of ourselves, but I love when he comes back from the Capitol and is not himself. I know that I probably will make everyone mad because I know a lot of Team PETA fans who are like, you're crazy. She loves him so much. And I'm like, read the book.
Yeah, I haven't gotten the love yet either. I haven't gotten love for she love either of them.
No, it's literally just the necessity. She loves, to me, she loves them both as family.
Yeah.
They're family to her. They're not her like soulmate love interest. And so she's doing what she needs to out of necessity to protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And they both want her to pick one of them. And she's like, more often than not, it's like, I can't deal with feelings right now. Like, I've never even thought about these feelings with you.
She's just not that into them.
Yeah.
Yes. A month early, but.
That's funny. Yeah. So sorry. I did not help you, but
that's
really.
No, because you actually did, because it is true. She sees them as like big brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
Mm-hmm. I love PETA, but
I know.
I think he deserves better.
I think they both do.
Honestly, yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to remember if Madge ends up going to the wherever Gale goes. But I think that that's a perfect. I'm like, good. You found someone who's into you.
Aw. I'm excited to keep reading then.
Yeah.
Because I can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Okay. He leaves. So she's like, fine. I'll go find PETA and convince him to come. And here we go. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And so they hear this weird sound coming from the square because she's with PETA now. And they go and look, but PETA's like, go run away. And she's like, what is happening? And she hurries up to see, and it's Gale getting whipped because he went hunting. So the turkeys hang in there. And there's a new peacekeeper, and the old one was a friend that is now knocked out on the ground. Katniss jumps in between the peacekeeper and Gale to stop the whipping, and she gets smacked in her face.
So, you just said that Gale and her met up in their hunting spot, right?
They didn't. They met up somewhere else, didn't they?
In the movie?
I don't know.
No, you are right that okay. They meet up in their hunting spot.
But in the movie, they did not.
No, in the movie, she just comes right up to him. As he's getting off of work and gives him a hug and says, we need to leave. I'm like, girl.
I was trying to.
You know that Snow is watching you. What?
Oh my gosh.
And then PETA is never in this scene. More peacekeepers come at this part. Do you remember how he starts getting whipped?
Yeah, because he, I think it was just a random person that was like.
Getting whipped.
Struggling for something. And they're like, get down. And they're shoving her down. And Gale goes, hey. And he tackles him. And then that got him started getting whipped.
Rather than him hunting and trying to sail.
Yeah.
Sail? Sell.
Yes.
Wow. You haven't talked about what I was about to say. So you keep going.
Okay. So.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I'll put this note here. So Katniss has gotten whipped in her face, right? Mm-hmm. In the book, it's supposed to be like this huge, horrible gash that's like making it swell on one side, and like she's now unrecognizable. In the movie, it's one tiny little cut.
If you get whipped, that would be your whole
yeah,
face.
Yeah, not one tiny little cut.
Yes. So, Haymitch saved Katniss by making the peacekeeper realize who she was, and Gale is now brought to Katniss's house to have her mom save him. And she didn't have very strong medicine, and he was in so much pain. So Madge shows up, and she brought stronger medicine because her mom is always sick. So she uses strong medicine. And Katniss is realizing she does love Gale, and she kisses him.
So here's my problem with this. Because mm-hmm. she did this in the games, too, to PETA. Mm-hmm. Like, the second they're injured, she's like, oh, I love you, and I need to kiss you to show you that I love you.
Right.
I'm like, it. She knows.
Which... Is it Gale who brings that up? I think in this next book, he's like, yeah, you only notice me when I'm in pain or something
funny,
like that.
Funny, I don't remember that.
I'm pretty sure he says that.
Good job, Gale.
I know.
So when Haymitch jumps in, he jumps in and he's like, hey, you're screwing her up when she's supposed to have a photo shoot for her wedding dresses here this week. In the movie, it's on the eve of the big wedding.
I know.
Which is funny because then when the... Quarter Quell thing happens, they're not married.
I know.
And they did it in secret. But this happened on the eve of the big wedding. Whatever. Again, since Madge is not there, Katniss's mom just miraculously had Morphling. So where did that come from?
So Katniss is now ready to start a rebellion. She's like, this is ridiculous. Let's do it. And she sees the town square. They have gallows and whipping poles, and the hob is burned down. And, her and PETA give Haymitch alcohol because he's going through major withdrawals because he would buy it from the Hob. And Hob. Okay. And everyone is so poor now. People are getting beat daily. 12 is just like dying. And she's like, I can't start a rebellion because every single person in 12 would need to do it. And there's no way. And so then all of a sudden at her house, she gets a bunch of wedding dresses. President Snow has approved. I'd be pissed.
Yeah.
I'd be like, the president has to approve my wedding dress.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She can't handle it all. So she goes hunting. And while out hunting, she encounters two peacekeepers. She's about to shoot them when she realizes, oh, they're holding out bread with the Mockingjay on it. They must not be peacekeeper.
So this doesn't happen. And when Katniss is, because after Gale's been whipped, she sleeps with him while he's on her table. She sleeps in a chair. And the next morning, PETA comes and is like, hey, you need to go get some rest. So she then goes upstairs and goes to sleep. In the movie, Katniss is like, no, I'll go get him some more snow. And so she goes outside, and then Prim comes out with her. And then Prim basically gives her a talk about how people, the only thing stronger than fear is hope. And so basically Prim is what makes her go, oh, I need to stay and fight.
So these peacekeepers... that aren't peacekeepers are refugees from District 8 who have escaped. And they let Katniss know everything that horrible is going on over there. And they say, we're trying to get to District 13. And she's like, that's crazy. There's no District 13. It blew up. They're like, no, haven't you noticed? All the footage they show is the same footage played over and over and over. Why would they do that if they weren't trying to cover something up? And
but also how crazy, like now knowing, reading the third book, like if there's this huge war going on, how did none of the districts know?
So interesting.
Anyways.
So she's also told that the Mockingjay is now a symbol that, hey, we're on your side. And so she goes back to go back home and she realizes the electric fence is on. She's like, nah, it's never going to turn off. So Katniss climbs over the fence, but it's a 25-foot drop, so she hurts her ankle, Ophelia, or her heel, Ophelia, Katniss, and her tailbone. And she goes home, and the peacekeepers are in her house, and she has to just act like she's not in pain. And they wanted to let her know that the new peacekeeper, Thread, I think his name is, said the fence is always going to be on now, just so you know. She's like, okay, good to know. Doesn't matter. I don't go out there anyways. And she's put on bed rest and her and PETA get to hang out and make a little family book together with berries and
edible
flowers.
Plants.
Yep. She starts watching old footage of District 13 and she sees a Mockingjay wing in the same spot on different footage, which means these girls were right. They're like green screened on the same footage over and over. And it always says live from District 13. So that's why it's not just that. Well, yeah, it would be easier to just do this. It's that they're
always saying that they're in front of it.
Yeah. All right. So the prep team's there and Cinna comes and get Katniss all ready for her photo shoot with the wedding dresses. And she talks with Haymitch and finds out that a lot of districts are rebelling right now. And District 12 is just too small. It wouldn't work. He doesn't fully believe the District 13 story. He's like, no, I don't. Why? How, we would know. And back home, there's an announcement on TV showing off all the wedding dresses. But there's also an announcement of the Quarter Quell. And this is where we learn. The first Quarter Quell had districts had to vote on which tributes they wanted to go in. Dude, that would suck. Be like, they're our least favorite person.
Yeah. I know.
Oh my gosh. And then Haymitch's where they were double. Mm-hmm. And then this one, which is we're going to take all of our victors who are granted immunity from this games and we're actually going to make you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And since District 12 only had one girl, Katniss will be going back into the games.
So a good chunk of that does not happen. The dress and telling Haymitch and talking about the rebellion. But instead in the movie, we see Plutarch telling Snow, because Snow is getting upset because he wants Katniss to be squashed. He's like, she's causing too much hope for everybody. And Plutarch is like, I know how we do this. We just need to throw the big, or like, we need to show the victors that they aren't as high and mighty as we, or as they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically he's why the Quarter Quell is all the victors going back in.
Which when it's explained is that there have been however many already pre-planned.
Mm-hmm.
Like they open an envelope from the people who created the Hunger Games.
All the way back. It's 75 years ago.
Yeah. And they have like every 25 years they're like, here you go. Here's the special.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I mean, do we believe that? I don't know if I do.
I know I don't. For sure not. Yeah.
So Katniss freaks out naturally. She goes and hides in the woods for a little bit and then it clicks. Oh my gosh, Haymitch and PETA are also up for grabs. So she goes to Haymitch's and gets drunk with him. And she finds out PETA was there immediately saying you need to do everything you can to save Katniss. And PETA the next day throws away all the liquor and they say we need to start acting like careers. And they start training until the reaping happens. And Katniss's name gets drawn, of course, and so does Haymitch's. But PETA immediately is like, I volunteer as tribute. And they're ushered off without saying goodbye.
So that happens. The one thing I want to say is in the book, it talks about how when Effie is going to grab Katniss's name, it takes her a long time because she's a little bit hurt and sad that Katniss is going to go back in. Whereas in the movie, she just goes right in and grabs it.
She did look sad.
She did. But there wasn't any like hesitation apart from that. And then in the book too, Haymitch also is the one who describes that like all the other victors know each other and have been friends for forever. And so Katniss and Peeta, being the two new ones, are the outsiders. But in the movie, Effie explains this. And Peeta never is like, we need to start thinking like careers and figuring out all these people's weaknesses.
All right. So they're on the train and they watch the reapings and they make note of all the tributes because they're going to go and learn how they won. And so Katniss couldn't sleep. So she went out and find Peeta, and he's watching all the old games, watching their fighting styles. And they finally get to Haymitch's and they're like, okay, let's watch it. And I loved learning about his games. And so Katniss's mom, this was her reaping. She was during this time too. And the girl, the girl that was reaped was Maisley Donner. That's why my brain went Donner, which is Mage's mother.
Madge's.
Gosh, you guys. I don't even know what it is. I have no excuses anymore. This is me.
She's not tired.
Not anymore.
She's here. This is her. Enjoy.
So her mother is Maisley's sister, which is why she feels sick all the time, because her sister died in the Hunger Games. And so Haymitch and Maisley end up teaming up. Eventually, he finds the end of the game, like the board, the arena, and he realizes it's like a boomerang. He threw something out and it ricocheted back. And Maisley's like, oh my gosh, can we just like go? Because Haymitch just wants to stay here in this area. So they end up splitting up and she dies. And Haymitch is bummed, but he's like, at least I didn't have to be the one to kill her. And then him and her, him and the last girl are fighting to the death. Like, her guts are spilling out, and like his guts are spilling out, and her eyeball's gone, and yuck. And finally she threw an axe at him, but it went out of the arena and ricocheted back and got her in the head. It was so cool hearing his story. I don't know why I liked it so much.
That doesn't get shown in the movies
at all.
Nope. And because Effie has said that they are the outsiders, Haymitch is like now teaching him all about all of the other victors. And so he's going through each one. And then when they get to Finnick, they ask what Finnick's weakness is. And Haymitch is like, it's Mags, when they don't realize that until they're in the games.
So Cinna got her dress, and it's a beautiful Cole outfit. And oh, also District 4 is a career too. Last week we said that it was only Districts 1 and 2, but also District 4 is a career district. That's what I
thought.
So District 4 is a career too. And this is when we learn about Finnick, because he is from District 4.
Which
it's just sad to me that he was a career. I always wanted to imagine him not as one. I just still don't. It's hard for me to imagine him as a career.
It's funny because I don't think he is. To me, I feel like he just trained because
that's what they did.
Yeah.
He volunteered because that's what they do.
Probably. I don't know. I love him. I don't care. He's my favorite character in this whole series. Yes. So
he's the pretty boy and everybody at the Capitol wants him. And he doesn't deal with money. He deals with secrets. And Katniss and Peeta act all pissed on their chariots because
that's what Cinna wants.
Yeah. Cinna's like, you're mad because you didn't even get a whole year of your winnings and you're back here. So be mad. And then we learn about Johanna, and she's from District 7. And we also see there's a new Avox, and it's the peacekeeper from District 12. And Katniss is just so sad.
And how we learn about Johanna is because she goes into the elevator with Katniss and Peeta and strips down.
All Nikki.
Yeah. In the movie, the difference here is that Haymitch is in the elevator with them.
Yes.
He's not supposed to be in the elevator with him.
His facial, you had to have Woody in there.
Yeah, for sure. Also, Joanna also asked Peeta to unzip her.
And Katniss is pissed.
Yeah. Whereas that doesn't happen in the book either. But it's also funny.
Needed to be in there. Yeah. There's also not a new Avox in the movie.
Also, I kind of like the Avoxes. They have new, like, weird face mask things that cover their mouths too. And I like that.
Yeah.
But you also never see him really except for in the back room.
So it is now training day, and Effie wanted them to all wear matching Mockingjay tokens. So Haymitch has a bracelet and she has her hair, and Peeta got like a medallion locket thing.
It's a Mockingjay locket.
Yep. And so they start trying.
You were saying what the movie gives him. That pisses me off.
I know. I think in the movie makes it be the same thing. They call it something different, though.
No, it's not. It's this weird ass rectangle with lines on it.
Yeah, which is what he ends up opening at in the games. So that is the locket. It just looks stupid.
And it doesn't have a Mockingjay on it.
It's just gold.
It's supposed to have a Mockingjay on it.
All are supposed to have Mockingjays on it.
I also always pictured the locket as a circle.
Yeah. All right. So they all have their things. And they're started training. This is when Haymitch says, you gotta make friends because they're all friends. You have to be friends. And so during training, Katniss is not excited to make friends. She's like, why would I make friends when I'm going to kill everybody or we're all going to die? But she's like, fine. And she makes friends with the oldest and craziest people there. Beedi and Wyrus, she really likes them. And Mags, she really likes her, who Mags is like, had like a stroke or something. She can't talk. And Beedi and Wyrus are super nerdy and like old and crazy. People call them nuts and bolts.
Nuts and bolts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As they're training, they're like, look, they have a force field around the game makers. And she's like, how do you know? And she's like, look, you can see. There's a little blurb in the force field. You can see it right there. So now it's time for individual showcase. And Katniss goes after PETA, but it smells like cleaning supplies in there. And the game makers look pissed. And there's like a mat covering something up. And she's like, okay, that's weird, but I'm going to piss them off too because I'm pissed. And she makes a noose and writes Seneca Crane on it. And the game makers are shocked. And we find out that PETA had painted a picture of Rue because PETA's talent was painting. We never said that. He started painting.
No one knew what they were going to do going into this because they were like, we already showed them what we were good at.
Right. And so he painted Rue with the flowers all around her, which pissed them off. Both Katniss and PETA earned a 12. And Haymitch is pissed because he's like, they did that so that all the other people would target you, which I think is the stupidest thing because I'm sorry, they're already going to get targeted by the other people. If they really wanted them to fail, give them a 1 and they would get no sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, actually.
But I guess in the end, Plutarch is on their side.
Yeah, so that's so why.
Maybe that's why. I don't know. It didn't match for the story to me.
Well, the other thing too that Ali has not mentioned because it's not like super big, but now that you know the story, it's like, oh, duh. The whole entire time, Effie and Haymitch have kind of left Katniss and PETA to their own devices. They've been there, but when it comes time for certain things, they're like, we gotta go. I'm pretty positive that when they're going, it's that Haymitch can go talk to Plutarch and figure out how they're going to get them out of there. So probably was a, we're helping you out. We're going to get you the sponsors you need.
Okay. That makes sense. Cinna dressed Katniss in a wedding dress, which she hated, but he's like, sorry, Snow made me do it.
Also, the wedding dress was voted on by the citizens of the Capitol.
And this time in the movie, it was just in the movie it was right. Or the the book, it was voted. Movie picked.
Yep.
Okay. But she's like, it felt a lot heavier than it did last time. And he's like, don't put your hands in the air until you spin. And when it came time, she spun around and the dress burned off. And she had the wings of a Mockingjay.
In the book, when they're doing the individual showcases, Katniss is waiting for like 40 minutes before they let her go in. In the movie, she crosses paths with PETA as she's walking in, and she gets to see the painting of Rue.
Yeah.
I was like, why would they leave that out for the next person to see?
I really think they only did it so that we audience can see it.
For sure. But that's, it doesn't follow with what the game makers would probably do. And then also in the book, when Katniss comes out in her wedding dress, all the tributes like see her before they go out to the stage to take their seats. But in the movie, only Joanna is there and sees her. But it's just because she's the only one who talks to her in the book.
I know. All right. So PETA does his interview and he says that they secretly got married, but he wishes they didn't because there's a baby. Katniss is pregnant now and the whole place goes into uproar. He goes back in line and the tributes all hold hands together, and this uproar is so much that they don't play the replay of the interviews. Everyone's sent home and it's just a nightmare for the Capitol. And so Haymitch says goodbye to Katniss before she goes into the games. And he says, while you're in there, remember who the real enemy is. And Cinna says goodbye to Katniss before she gets in her tube, but the tube is delayed for some reason. And that's so Katniss could see the Peacekeepers coming in and beating up Cinna. And she was raised up into the games, and her pedestal is surrounded by water.
So in the movie, after PETA does this bomb of Katniss being pregnant, for some reason, they all think that this is going to cancel the games.
Right.
They're all sitting around like, do you think it's going to work? Do you think this is going to cancel the games? I'm like, oh, you really think the Capitol is going to care?
I know.
With how cruel they are?
I know. I didn't like how, I don't know. I never pictured, like, I pictured districts being like, oh my gosh, cancel the games. But I never pictured, maybe they did, the Capitol being like, they need to cancel the games.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
I don't think they were yelling that they needed to cancel the games, but they were pissed. They were mad because
I remember
was their
that. Yeah.
Love story that they got to right. watch, and now they're pregnant. Now
they have their little babies, fake babies coming.
Mm-hmm. And then the rest of it happens.
Could you imagine her mom being like, she's 17 years old?
Well, one thing too that I wish they did in the movie is after the interview, when PETA and Katniss finally get a moment alone, he's like, is there anything I need to apologize for? Because he remembers how she reacted last time.
Yes, I liked that.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
Katniss, after like trying to calm down about Cinna, jumps off her pedestal and she swims to the cornucopia because she's acting like a career now. She's going to go get those bow and arrows. And Finnick gets there before she can shoot him. He's like, good thing we're allies. And she sees Haymitch's bracelet on him. She's like, dang it. And she gets the supplies. She starts shooting people down. And they find PETA. Finnick helps him because he can't swim. And Mags is also there, who's his District 4 partner. And they start trekking through the forest.
One of my notes in the book is what I was going to say. One of my notes, which I mean, I guess it is a question for the book too. Why on earth are the stylists taking them to the pod to take them to the arena? I made this note when Cinna died. But like, why is he...
My only guess is that they're making sure their outfits look real nice before they go on.
Okay. Because I was like, that makes no sense. Why is it not like the mentor or something like that?
I mean,
you'd think
it would be everybody at least.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I guess there's only... Because there's two. But I guess like in other districts, there's more likely to have two mentors. So
maybe it is for other districts. Maybe this one.
But you like,
think
screamable.
Then Effie could be with Katniss.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
I know. I thought it was weird. I was like, this is kind of odd.
Yeah.
Because like they then like you show them going into the hovercraft and going to where they need to go for the arena. And then in the book, when they run to go get PETA, PETA's stuck on his pedestal because he doesn't know how to swim.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, he's stuck because he's fighting someone in the water.
Yeah.
I was like, hold on, you're supposed to not know how to swim.
Could you imagine just being like, well, this is how I die because I can't swim.
you come up and you're like, ah, shit.
I'm gone.
Hi, sitting target. Hello. And then when Finnick does his I'm your ally thing, he definitely... A lot of his lines, actually, just throughout the whole entire movie, are a lot of Katniss's inner monologue when she's debating
mm-hmm.
things with him, which is kind of annoying because then sometimes there's things that get said that I'm like, that doesn't happen. And that kind of makes your relationship with him weird. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Katniss climbs a tree. She's looking for fresh water, but she sees all these people dead in the water. And she's really bummed because she's like, oh, we held hands. I thought maybe we would be friends. But, you know, this girl killed some people in that opening, too. So whatever. Did mm-hmm. she kill him or she shot him? I don't think she killed him.
I don't think she killed him either.
OK. So she's trying to decide if she should trust Finnick or not or kill him or not. And she's like, not yet. So they search for water and they got to a force field, but Katniss was the only one who saw it because she saw the little blurb that Beatty and Wyrus told her about, and PETA slashed it with his knife and got electrocuted and thrown back. And no heartbeat or anything. Finnick's able to save him by doing CPR, which Katniss had no idea what he was doing, which I found hilarious because Finnick is from 4, which is a whole water
yeah.
district, so they need to know CPR.
Mm-hmm.
And Mags also has the Mockingjay token, and they ask how she knew the force field were there, and she's like, my ear that the district fixed for me.
Capital.
Capital fixed for me. I could hear it, because she didn't want to say it out loud in case the game makers were like, oh, we got to make sure we fix that so they can't see it anymore.
Mm-hmm. In the movie, when Katniss climbs a tree, she wastes one of her arrows to shoot it to see that it's a dome.
So stupid. Of course it's a dome.
I know.
Oh, I was
like, aren't they always domes?
Yes.
Like, why are you shooting an arrow?
So dumb. Like,
you just wasted one of your weapons.
Gosh.
Also, in the book, when they set up camp, they actually make like a legit camp. They make like mats and stuff, and they don't make a cool camp.
Mm-mm.
And this is one of the parts where I say that thing about Finnick saying Katniss is in her monologue, because after they hear the cannons go off, Finnick kind of gives a sarcastic laugh and it's like, so much for holding hands, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's just so weird. And then the rest of it happened.
Katniss caught a tree rat and it had a wet nose. So she's like, there's water somewhere. But they couldn't find it. They're in like a tropical hot. They are sweating. They're losing their water. They need to find fresh water because it's all salt water. Yeah. And they get a parachute and it's some weird metal thing that finally she realizes it's a spile. And so she puts it into the tree. Water comes out and they get all watered up. And Katniss and Finnick are keeping watch for the night. And they hear like this dinging noise at, and there are 12. Yeah, there are 12
dong.
And they're like, that's weird. Maybe it's for the district. Cause I don't know what it's for. And they see this lightning storm happen at the distance. And then there's a cannon. And Finnick decided, fine, if you're not going to go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep. And while this happens, some fog starts coming. And Katniss is like, that doesn't look right. Which means it's game maker, which means it's not safe. So she wakes everyone up and they start running. But she's starting to blister from all the fog.
The other thing that we didn't say during her and Plutarch's dance is that he told her that it's going to start at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very key. He didn't say that in the movie, though.
No, he was like, yes, I have a meeting tonight. It starts at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like, well, that's a weird time for that to start, but okay. So these stupid parachutes are still sending with notes.
And dinging.
Yeah. Yeah. And dinging. And Haymitch just tells them to drink up. So they automatically know exactly what it is.
Right. So they start running away from the fog. And it's now messing with their nervous system. Like they start spasming. PETA's legs can't walk. It's messing him up so mad. So bad.
Gosh. So mad.
I would be mad. Like you not only have to live from all the other contestants, you have to live from the stupid stuff too. So Katniss is like, Finnick, can you please carry him? And so Finnick does, but he's like, you gotta carry Mags because that's who he's carrying right now. So she does, but she's like, I can't carry her anymore because she starts spasming and Mags is heavy. She's not really heavy, but Katniss apparently is weak and spasming and all that sort of stuff. And Mags gives Finnick a kiss goodbye and runs into the fog so that they can keep running out of there. But then the fog all of a sudden stops and it's like behind a glass wall. But they go on to do they get onto the beach?
Yes, they okay. go into the center.
Thank you. That's what I thought. They go to the beach.
The movie fucks it up.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad. I was like, am I making things up in my head?
No,
okay.
They go onto the beach because that's how they figure it out and they can like watch all the different sections too.
So they're on the beach. They go into the water and it like leaches all the poison out from them. And Finnick almost passes out from the pain, but they are all clean, all scabbed and gross looking.
This happens in the book. You actually like see Mags's death. Or it gets explained to you. Whereas in the movie, she just walks into the fog and then you hear the cannon almost instantly. I don't think it would be that quick, but okay. And then to help themselves, they don't get to a beach. They get to just a stupid little pond thing.
Which
in the
is
middle
like
of the forest.
Aren't they supposed to be no fresh water? And would it be salt water in the middle of a forest?
No.
Yeah, no. That's why I was like very confused.
Yes. No, it's supposed to be the center beach where they all started out, but nope, they don't. Also, no one seems like they were that bad. Like they had to drag Finnick into the freaking water to help him. In the movie, no, not so much.
Finnick just runs in.
Yeah.
He's like, oh my gosh. They notice these monkeys and they weren't concerned at first, but then there's a lot of them. And Katniss is like, hey, PETA, come here. Because he's trying to get water from the spile in the tree. And he looks up and he sees the monkey. And that was enough for the monkeys to start attacking. And Katniss is shooting. She runs out of arrows. PETA is carrying her extra arrows. So she's like, PETA, I need the arrows. He goes to get them. But then he can't fight. And a monkey goes to eat him. And then a morphling comes out and sacrifices herself, which we didn't talk about before. They're like awesome camouflagers. Mm-hmm. She sacrifices herself to save PETA. And it's like.
So when this part happens, my one note here is that, well, it's not really a note. It's a question. Did PETA leave the spile in the tree?
Like, yes.
Shouldn't you be grabbing that?
Ah, that was my thought too. But then later on they have it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They also in the movie fighting the monkeys, and they knew if they got to the beach,
they would be fine,
but they were already on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
So PETA kills the monkey and the rest of them start to back off, and they stay with the morphling and they hold her hand as she dies. And they have all these scabs from the fog burn. They're really itching. So Haymitch sends down medicine and it makes them look like these zombies decaying. So Finnick's like, you know, it'll be really fun. Let's scare PETA. And so they go over because he was asleep and scare him. Oh my gosh, I wish that was in the movie. I'm so sad.
I know,
sad.
That would have been so fun. Yeah, that does not happen in the movie, guys.
I don't know why when I'm reading this, I swear it was. So I'm a little sad that it wasn't. When reading this, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. And then I was like, wait, I guess that doesn't happen. She just writes it so descriptively. I painted the picture in my head.
Oh, that's funny.
So all of a sudden they see three people down on the beach, and Finnick's like, oh my gosh, it's Joanna. And so they go down, and she also has Beady and Wyrus with them. They're covered in blood. And she's like, it was blood rain. We almost drowned. My other partner from District 7 died because he ran into the forest field. Wyrus just keeps going tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. And Joanna brought these two to Katniss because Haymitch told her if they're going to team up, she has to. And as the night goes on, Katniss realizes, she's like, tick tock, we're in a clock. In each section, something bad happens. So we got lightning, blood rain, fog, monkeys. There was a giant wave that happened, like from the back of the... In the book, was it from the back of the arena to the water?
Mm-hmm.
Right, it was not mm-hmm. the water to the back, right?
Yeah.
Okay. They keep being sent bread, too. They got, like, they don't keep being sent. They have been sent bread.
Mm-hmm.
Rolls, like 24 rolls.
Yes. And it's from Beatty's district. So this happens, but I'm glad you put that as the night goes, because I had wondered this when I was watching the movie, because this all happens during the day. Not
like right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like she says tick tock, and like 2 minutes later she's like, oh, a clock.
It's a clock.
No, Katniss was keeping watch, and she just keeps sitting there thinking about tick tock, tick tock.
Because Wyrus also decides to hang out with her.
Yeah.
Then happens during the day. And then also at this point, this is when PETA's like, I should make a map. Then he freaking doesn't in the movie. I was like, that's like the smartest thing you guys do.
I know.
And this doesn't happen.
Beatty really wanted his wire. Like, he almost died for it in the cornucopia. Joanna's like, you're an idiot, but whatever.
Also, when you heard about this wire, what were you picturing? Were you picturing like a small little thing? Because I for sure was.
Yeah, I probably, because it was a big spool.
It was a huge spool in the movie.
Which, I mean, when we hear the plan, it makes sense that it was that big.
But in the freaking arena, are you really, as a tribute, running to go get that as your weapon?
I know. But it's like, I don't know. I guess I was picturing maybe half that size.
I picture like a cool contraption. Like, there's so much other stuff in this movie and book that's futuristic. Why is this spool not? I always pictured like a handheld wire thing that like sucked back in too.
Like a tape measure.
Yes.
That exactly. would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. But nope, it's a big ass spool.
Yep. A pretty thick wire. It was described as hair thin.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I mean, I guess they couldn't do that because
we had to see it.
See it.
But yeah, when the scene when Joanna and Katniss have it, I was like, hold on.
And they decide, hey, we're going to go back to the cornucopia because it's in the very middle of the water. So we can see all around us. And then all of a sudden they get attacked. And then Wyrus ends up dying. So do a couple careers. But then the cornucopia starts spinning really fast. And players are thrown into the water. And once the spinning stops, Katniss gets BD's wire because Wyrus was holding it. And she, the helicopter, the hovercraft is going to come pick up her dead body, so she had to go get it. They moved inland, but now they don't know where to go because 12 was where the cornucopia was pointing at, and now it's spun around, so they don't know where it is, which is stupid because in my head I imagined the lightning happening all in that section, but it only happens in the movie to that one tree.
Oh, see, I pictured it also happening just to the tree.
Okay, say it does. Mm-hmm. That tree is very noticeable. So then,
right, in the movie.
So then it's like there's 12.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where the cornucopia was pointing. You know that tree. It's right there.
In the book, she explains that in each section, they made sure to have a tree that was just as tall as the lightning tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That's because I was like, that's so stupid. It's right there. There's 12. Who cares if the cornucopia is not pointing at? You see it right there.
Yeah. And that happens, except for it happens basically right after they figure out it's a clock. And Wyrus is not holding BD's wire because how could she hold a huge ass bull when she's dying?
Yes. So Katniss is trying to figure out why is everybody sacrificing themselves for PETA? And then all of a sudden she hears Prim screaming for her in the forest and she darts to go save her. And she's in the woods and finally she sees it's a Jabberjay, which copies sounds it hears. And she shoots it down and Finnick comes in because he hears one from a girl named Annie and he's freaking out. And Katniss is like, it's okay, it's just a Jabberjay. And then she hears her mom and Gail and Madge and she's trying to convince herself it's not real. But then Finnick's like, but they copy voices, so they had to have heard it. And then she freaks out again. And they're trying to leave, but they're like a force field glass wall. So it's not electric, but they cannot get out. And so once they can, PETA comes in to convince her it's okay. You know, we're in the top 8. They interview our families. Everyone loves Prim. And Johanna starts yelling about how, yeah, there'd be a revolution. Revolution? Is that the right word? That's not the right word. A revolt.
Bellion?
Rebellion?
Maybe it is revolution. I don't know. She just starts yelling at the Capitol.
Revolution doesn't sound right. Yeah. That made Katniss like her. She's like, oh, no, she didn't give a crap.
Yeah.
I like that.
In the movie, everyone's all together in basically the section where the Jabberjays are when Katniss hears Prim's voice. So you would think that everyone would get stuck in that glass. But still, PETA and Joanna are on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And PETA doesn't tell her, like, it's okay. They just interviewed her. It's right. All Joanna who says it. Who's like, don't worry, they wouldn't do anything to hurt Prim. Everyone loves Prim.
Yep.
Also, in the book at this point, they've made mention of Katniss's pregnancy, air quotes, 3 times within the games. It's not mentioned once in the movie.
Mm-hmm. Not even a thing.
Mm-hmm. It happened. Done.
So we find out that Annie is Finnick's true love and Mags volunteered because Annie's name was chosen. So that's why he wanted to protect Mags at all costs. Annie's gone a little crazy since being outside of the games, but Finnick still loves her. And Katniss and PETA take first watch and they talk about how Haymitch promised both of them that he would keep the other one safe. And PETA shows Katniss the locket with her mom and Prim and Gale to remind them. Remind her who's at home waiting for her. And they kiss, and it's a real kiss, and she felt real feelings, just like she did with Gale like a month ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Also in the book, PETA at this point gives her, oh wait, this isn't when he gives her the pearl, right?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It's with Finnick at some point. Oh, it's just with Finnick, so it already happened.
He does not give her a pearl.
No, he doesn't.
In the movie. And that was one of my favorite parts.
So odd that he... I mean, I know why he requested Gale in there, but to be carrying around pictures of Gale.
Well, he did it in hopes that would convince her.
Right, right. For this reason. This is why he did it. But still, could you imagine, like, carried around, oh, yeah, it's the guy my girl loves.
Yeah. My girl who doesn't love me or him.
Exactly. So more bread is sent to them. And Katniss talks to Peeta. She's like, we gotta leave. And he's like, you're right. But let's wait for two more of the careers to get killed, because then we'll have two packs chasing us. And Beatty shows him a plan about how he's going to use his wire, set a trap to the big electric tree, and bring it to the water, and it's going to electrocute that whole section. So he knows his wire is going to be strong because he created it. And they get more rolls as they wait for the lightning, so they know which section to go to.
Basically happens.
Okay. So Johanna and Finnick split up Peeta and Katniss. And there was no way for Katniss to be like, no, without a fight breaking out and them having to kill each other. So they just kind of were like, okay, fine. Johanna and Katniss take the wire and they wrap it around the tree and they go to put it in the water so that a big conductor will happen. But there's a sudden moment when Johanna knocks out Katniss and she's digging her knife in her arm. And Katniss assumes, well, now they're breaking the alliance. And Johanna's like, stay down. And she goes off to go kill other tributes. And Katniss goes to find Peeta. And she found Beatty instead, who got electrocuted. He's not doing well. And Katniss got trapped in Beatty's wire and she freaks out. And then she's like, oh my gosh, it's just a stupid wire. And she gets out of it and she hears Peeta screaming for her. So she tries to find him and she hears cannons going off. And she remembers Haymitch saying, oh, because Finnick's there and she almost shoots Finnick. She remembers Haymitch saying, remember who the real enemy is. And she wraps the wire around an arrow and shoots it at the dome right as the lightning strikes and the whole place explodes.
So in the movie, when Katniss is going to shoot Finnick, he's the one who says, remember who the real enemy is. And I'm like, why would Haymitch tell you to tell her that too? Like, I think it's so dumb.
So that we could get the reminder. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, how else would they tell us?
Mm-hmm. Other than that, everything happens.
Cool. Hovercraft comes and picks up Katniss, and her face, the face that greets her, is the head game maker, Plutarch. And she's in a medical bed and she passes out again and she wakes up again. And Beatty's there in the hospital with her, and Haymitch and Finnick and Plutarch are all talking. So she takes a syringe and she's like, I gotta go kill Peeta so that he's not taken. Because this is before she hears Haymitch and Finnick. She just knows.
Assumes that she's with the Capitol.
Yeah. So she's guts to go kill Peeta so he doesn't
get injured anymore.
Yeah, tortured or whatever. Mm-hmm. So then she sees Haymitch and Finnick and Plutarch, and Haymitch explains what happened and how this was a plan for a revolution from the moment the games were announced. And
are you sure it's not rebellion?
No, this sounds more correct. I don't know.
I think it's the rebellion.
Okay.
I have no idea, because revolution makes way more sense. So if it is rebellion,
I don't know. The rolls are all of sign of what time and day it was. And Plutarch showing him his watch at the party was a hint of what the arena was going to be. But this was before he knew that she was going to be in it. It was just for her as a mentor.
Which goes against what the movie said, where he knew she was going in as a victor.
Yep. And Katniss is just pissed off because she's like, I was another toy in a stupid game. And she's like, well, where's Peeta? And oh, and we find out over half the tributes knew about this plan except for Peeta and Katniss. And she's like, well, where is he? And they're like, the Capitol got him. And she's pissed. She's like, goes and scratches Haymitch up and she gets sedated. And Finnick's like, I'm so sorry, I wanted to go back for him, I couldn't move. Katniss decides, I'm just going to give up on life. And then she hears Gale. And Gale comes in. He's all beat up and burned. And she's like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, everybody's okay. We got our families out, but there's no more District 12 because it was bombed and burned to the ground.
I just want to make a mention here for listeners to remember for next Monday that Finnick is totally normal and totally chill. I mean, he's obviously probably a little bit frazzled, but
in the movie or the book?
In both.
Yes, he really is. That's why I've been confused for a little bit. I'm just putting it on adrenaline.
basically this does happen. And the other thing is they hardcore play up the love triangle in the movies. I feel like with Gil like laying by her bed and like stroking her hair.
Yes, they definitely do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
That's it.
Woohoo. Hour and a half later. Okay. Mm-hmm. So IMDb cast 160 people for this movie.
Okay. Right.
So we got Liam Hemsworth as Gail Hawthorne.
He did good.
I think he's so handsome. I just love him so much.
I prefer his brother.
Oh, funny enough. All right. We got Paula Malcolmson.
Malcolmson?
Mm-hmm. Katniss's mom.
Yeah, I think she does good.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like how in this one, she, like, has her hair down most of the time, and she's, like...
She seems a lot more chill.
Yeah.
Than the mm-hmm. first one.
Mm-hmm.
We got Lenny Kravitz as Cinna.
I love him.
He does so good.
You know, when I read this book, I was convinced that he was not dead. And what convinced me is when she gets his notebook and Mockingjay. That's when I was like... If he were alive, he would be there.
All right. Patrick St. Espert, mm-hmm. Commander Thread.
He was good.
He was scary.
Yeah, he seemed very mean.
Mm-hmm.
I did not want to be wrong place, wrong time with him.
No, thanks. We got Jeffrey Wright as Beatty.
I love him.
I do, too. I also think he was in Westworld.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Could
be wrong.
Yeah, he was there. When at the red carpet event,
uh-huh.
or at the fan camp, one of the table signings was Sam, Jenna, and Jeffrey. And so he was there when I had my interaction with Sam. And I'm so mad at myself because I was so starstruck about meeting Sam that when I met Jenna, who freaking is in Donnie Darko. One of my top three, when I get asked what my favorite movie is, it's between three movies. One of them is Donnie Darko. Didn't even put it together that she's in it until after I met her. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
But anyways, but he was there and he, because I had my shirt that I made and he was like, that shirt is awesome. Can I like see the back of it too? And like had me basically like stop and show him the front and the back uh-huh. and arms and stuff. And he was really cool.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I like him.
Mm-hmm.
We have Amanda Plummer as Wyrus.
She did good.
She was a little crazy lady.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
She was sweet.
And let's do Lynn Cohen as Mags.
Oh, she's so sweet.
She was so cute.
I love her. At the red carpet, she didn't talk. It was kind of cute.
She stayed in character.
She just like went and bowed for all of us. And like, yeah.
She stayed in character.
Yeah, it was cute.
Very cute. All right. Is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Think for so. Sure.
Yep. Do the characters stay true to how they're written?
No.
Which PETA. Ones?
PETA 1000%.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Honestly. Oh, shit. There was someone else. I guess technically Finnick, because he ends up being Katniss's inner monologue.
Yeah.
I think that was the other one that I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But PETA, why are they screwing up PETA? One of my favorite characters in the books.
I know how they did.
And they just screw him up.
Oh, gosh. All right. And which do you prefer?
Book.
Book. Yep.
1000%. This is actually, if I don't include the prequel, this is my favorite book of the Hunger Games series. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like this one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When everything kicks off.
Fine with ending after this. Like, you're like, everything kicks off now. I'm like, man, I can be done.
The whole rebellion starts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We did it, guys.
We did. If you enjoyed this, go rate it, subscribe, review.
Share with friends,
yes.
Family.
Yes.
Have them rate, subscribe, review.
Do a whole chain of events.
Yeah, we would love that for us.
See how for us. See how many people you can get yourself
yeah.
to go rate us and subscribe to us and review us.
Yeah.
Say it again. Rate, subscribe, review.
One more time. Ooh, I'm excited.
Wednesday. We kick off Bree's birthday month in January.
Yeah. You know, 5 months later.
With The Great Gatsby.
Yes, guys, I'm so excited.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite books.
So reminder, we recorded these pre-strike, so we assume they're coming out in August. So
I tell you all about what's going on for my birthday month.
Yeah, so if you want a blast from the past, these are the episodes to listen to.
Yeah.
We make it pretty known once we start recording and the strike's happening.
Yeah.
I don't remember how far we got, but yeah, we pretty much say, well,
we don't know when this is coming out, but we're still doing this for you.
For all of Bree's birthday month, for sure.
We thought it was coming out.
Yeah. So sorry if that's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy.
I really hoped it would come out in August.
Yes.
And then Monday, we've got Mockingjay Part 1.
Part 1. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's see.
Broke that book into two. So
yes.
Well, hopefully it's a shorter episode because it's half of the book.
Yes.
We'll see.
I think Part 2 is when things kind of
get crazy.
Yeah. But I also can't remember. So
we'll see. Yeah. All right, you guys. And with that, Catching Fire went off script.
I forgot I was supposed to say that with you.
That was me last week.
Let's do it again.
Catching Fire
went off script.
Bye.
I was literally preparing to myself to say goodbye again.
Oh.
Like, I've got this. I'm going to say it with her.
That's awesome. Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shoutouts to Madame Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales!